We're going to be in Genesis chapter 16, if you guys want to get there. I'll announce that again when he's ready. We're ready? Okay. All right, Genesis 16, 13. Genesis chapter 16 verse 13 says, "And she called the name of the Lord and spake, and she called the name of the Lord and that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this night and the opportunity to be here again. We thank you for your word. And Father, as we're looking at the names of God, we are so thankful that we can have this, your word, to study, that we can become closer to you, that our walk would be strengthened, that our faith would be increased, and that you would be glorified. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we started with the names of God, El Elyon. Today, we're starting with El Roi, the strong one who sees, illustrated by Hagar in the wilderness, who called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. God sees my needs, he sees my hurts, he sees my sins, and he sees my heart. Every time we think we might be getting away with something, we need to realize that he is the strong one who sees. He sees everything. Nothing makes it past God. I said for years, you know, you might be able to fool me, you might be able to fool others, but one thing we can't do is fool God. He sees it all. And then the next one is El Shaddai, translated the Almighty, focusing on his all-sufficiency, meaning literally the breasted one. He is the God who meets my needs. If you haven't ever had an issue where you're wondering where the next meal's coming from or where the next payment's going to come from or whatever, you'll rely trusting on God. You'll see that he does indeed meet every need. He's never left us without the needs being met. I got to meet with Brother Anker. For those who don't know, he was the second pastor at Independent Baptist Church. I got to meet with him this last Monday, and what a blessing it was to see him again, and we got to talk, and it was for quite a while. As a matter of fact, I got done and called my wife, and I said, I didn't expect to be gone this long, but we got to talking about the Lord and things, and of course, that's one of my favorite subjects, so you can get distracted and moved on, but it was really nice to talk to him, and he asked some questions about things. And I told you, know, God has never let us down. He's always met every need, no matter what's going on. And of course, he's on my Sunday morning text, so he knew about Dad and Sarah's miscarriage and what's going on with Christina and Zoe and all. And so he knew all that. And he said, how are you doing through all that? And I said, God's met every need. And I'm not just talking about physical needs. I'm talking emotional needs, spiritual needs. He's met every one of them. And I just appreciate that. So he is the one that is all sufficient, and he takes care of our every need. This name focuses on God as nourisher, the life giver, and all sufficient meter of all our needs, the source of the blessings, spiritual, emotional, and physically. Look at Psalm. Keep your hand in Genesis, if you haven't left there yet, because we're coming back to Genesis 17 in just a moment. But Psalm 81:10. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. It is by this name that he appeared to Abraham to promise him a son. in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. This name appears more in Job than in any other book, picturing God's all-sufficiency to meet our needs in suffering. I don't know anybody who suffered more than Job did. I mean, as you read that book, and I was thankful that I got the opportunity to read through that with my mom before she passed, and she wanted me to read the Bible when I'd go see her every day, and she asked me if I would do Job. And I think it was a comfort to her knowing that she was suffering, but there's others that have suffered even more. And so just a blessing to do that. And if you haven't spent much time in the book of Job, you should, and see how God took care of him. This name focuses on the intimacy possible in our relationship with God. In Psalm 91:1, I'm just going to read it because we're running behind tonight. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This name pictures God's ability to draw us as the breast draws the infant when we are in danger of wandering from him. Been there, done that, wandered from God, and thankful that I learned my lesson and I've been back. And it was only because of what he did in my life to bring me back. But we can always, always, always have that intimate relationship with God if we want it. It's totally up to us. This name pictures God as almighty. As the breast has all power over the child, calming, quieting, nourishing, giving life, and drawing the child. This name also pictures God as an all-consuming judge. As nourishment poured into child may choke, or rain poured out may destroy, this name also has the meaning to sweep away or make desolate. Then El Olam, translated the everlasting God. God is not limited by time. He is above time, over time, and timeless. We have a problem with the situation that we think that God works on our timetable. God is not limited by time. We are what time was created for, not God. So he worked. So we always think, well, he's not moving fast enough. He's not working on our timetable. He's outside of time. So he, this, you know, we look at tonight's service. We're going to be here about an hour, maybe hour and 15 minutes, right, for everything, with prayer and all. People say, you know, this is taking way too long. God's not seeing it as any time at all. We're just spending some time with God. We're doing what he's commanded us to do. When the doors are open, we're supposed to be here. God is immutable, unchangeable. He is eternally sufficient. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He is sufficient. He will be there for us, no matter what's going on. We just need to learn to wait upon the Lord. And that's hard sometimes, because we don't like to wait. We want everything now. We want it in our time frame. And like I said, he's outside of time, so he doesn't work on our time frame, even though we think that he should. Then El Gabar, the mighty God. in Isaiah 9:6. This is a familiar passage, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This name emphasizes the omnipotence of the coming Messiah as God. Then Elah, or Eloah, the Adorable One. It's either E-L-A-H or E-L-O-A-H. It's spelt both ways. In Ezra 4:24 it says, Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem, so it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. This name emphasizes God as one worthy of our adoration, of our worship, and of our obedience. Obedience. That's something that a lot of God's children don't like, is the word obedience, because we don't want to be obedient, because we want to take the parts of the scriptures that we like and follow those, but the ones we don't like, we like to throw aside. And unfortunately, I've mentioned it many, many times, and people still, and not necessarily here, I'm just saying people in general, decide they still want the cafeteria-style Bible where they can take the things they like and pass on the things they don't. The whole thing is with God is it's, you got to take it all. It's all or nothing, basically. And he does desire our worship, but he also deserves our worship. Again, this name is used in Job more than any other book, picturing how we are to honor, worship, glorify, and obey God in all circumstances, including dire suffering when we cannot understand God. There's a lot of times when we're going through things that we might not understand why, but we can rely on God anyway. And there's a lot of things that have happened in my life, and I said, I don't have to know why it happened. I just have to trust God that he'll get us through it and that he has a purpose in it, and it's for my good. Because Romans 8:28 is for good things and for bad things, because it says all things work together for good. So we know that he's using all of it to work together for our good. This name means oak, the tree representing durability. It is used by the returning captives after exile. Adonai, meaning master, translated Lord. The key emphasis of this name is authority. This word is used of the relationship of a master to his slave. This relationship carries the following implications. The master has the right to expect obedience. Obviously, he has the right to expect our obedience. Now, I like to say he always gets our obedience, but he does have the right to expect it. He's bought us. As a child of God, we've been bought with a price. He paid that price. So we should not think it's odd that he should expect our obedience. And it's just, again, sometimes people think, well, we'll be obedient to the stuff we like, and the stuff we don't like doesn't matter. Turn over to Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says, A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, Wherein have we despised thy name? Luke 6:46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Then the obedient slave may expect provision. Look at Philippians 4:19. I was going to read this one, but it's good for us to see it. Because it's a good reminder for us. So Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It's not according to what we have, it's according to his riches. And then the slave is owned by the master, he is not his own. And I mentioned that, if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, I made reference to this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The word is also used of the relationship of husband and wife. In 1 Peter 3:6, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." This implies a love relationship, total submission, provision, protection, fellowship, intimacy. This word is plural, thus like Elohim. This name of God also implies the Trinity. And the next name is Jehovah, I Am, usually translated Lord, all caps. This is God's most common name, used 6,823 times. The Jews called this the unutterable name, refusing to speak or write it. It is often called the tetragrammaton, or four-letter name, YHVH, for Yahweh. As I've mentioned many times, they would not speak it, they would not write it, because they reverenced it that much. Today we got people that take the name of God in vain and think nothing of it. And I know there was people all through time. It just seems like it's constant. It's like everywhere you go. And the sad thing is, people who profess to know Christ are doing it. It boggles my mind. Why would you take the name that should be reverenced, the name above every name? Why do we take these things in vain when we know better? I get the lost crowd. I've said for years, I totally understand why the lost crowd do what they do. They don't know any better. God's people know better. And we still act like lost people. This name reveals God's self-existence, eternality, and immutability. It is God's covenant name for his redemptive relationship with his people, Israel. It can mean the ever-loving one and is connected with grace and salvation. We're going to end there because of time, and I will pick up there, Lord willing, next week.